Good morning. Welcome to CFC. We want to start our service like we normally do. We want to sing together. We want to declare that we are alive because of what Christ has done. This song says, "You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day." We have that life. Let's sing about that. Would you stand? Let's praise him together.
Man, it's kind of a glorious day out there, isn't it? This is awesome. Hey, I just wanted to start off by announcing this Summer Connect Challenge that we have for the month of July. You know, I think as a church, we do an awesome job. We partner with CrossNet. We partner with a bunch of parachurch ministries. We partner with a bunch of missionaries, and we're doing work all over the world. But sometimes I think that means that we can forget our neighbor across the street. So our challenge for the month of July is just to do something kind, do something out of the norm, invite a neighbor over for a barbecue at your house that maybe you don't know, or maybe they're a little cranky, so nobody invites them over. maybe it was even already done because of all the weather and bad stuff that we had. Maybe you grabbed some branches off their lawn for them. Maybe you did something already, but hey, just wanted to challenge you. Do something kind this month for somebody in our community. The next thing I want to announce is we have a kickoff soccer party coming up on July 14th. That's this week. So Tuesday, July 14th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. You can go to our website if you'd like to sign up for that. But that is for kids ages 5 through 12. So maybe that's the nice thing you do for your neighbors. You invite them to go to the kickoff soccer party. So there's an opportunity for us as well. The next thing I want to announce is that we have a men's breakfast and devotional at Yoder's. We do this once a month throughout the summer. It's this coming Thursday, July 16th, 6 a.m. Yoder's makes a good breakfast, guys. It's unlimited food. So come on out. Get your fill. We'd love to have you join us. The last thing I just want to mention to you is that our youth ministry is just left this morning. I don't know if you saw the cars as you came in, but our youth ministry left for Belize this morning. You can see a picture of all those. That's the biggest trip that I think CFC has ever done overseas. And it started this morning. So that's a reminder for you. Be praying for them this week. Be praying for their safety. Be praying that their ministry is effective. Be praying that they would just grow in their faith as a result of this trip. Now I've got Ethan and Melissa Molsey. I think you guys are coming up. Is everybody coming up or just you two? Just you two. Okay. All right. You got a whole row here. That's awesome. They're currently working in Togo, Africa, with a Mango Hospital of Hope. So we want to hear a little bit about what they're doing.
Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you. It's been several years since we've been here, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So we do serve at the Hospital of Hope in northern Togo in a little town called Mango, or Mongo. It's spelled Mango, but it's pronounced Mongo. It's fine. Our relationship with this church, I think, began in 2015 when you sent one of your nurses that attended here, Lindsay Capiro at the time, has since married, out to serve with us for 1 year as we opened. Our hospital opened in 2015. And then during that time, I believe you sent at least one team out to join us as well. So I've seen a couple of your faces here today and said, hey, I remember that person from many years ago. So it's wonderful to be back, and we greatly appreciate your investment in the ministry at the Hospital of Hope and your support of our family as well. Do you want to give an update of...
Yeah, so I think we owe you guys an updated photo. As you can see from our row, things might have changed a little bit. I've been, I'm getting shorter. We're both getting shorter. We're glad to be here as a family. We've got two extra young men with us who have grown up with our boys, and two of the DeKreiger boys with us. One of their brothers got married over in Honeybrook last night, and so we came back for a short vacation to attend that marriage, and then we have another one in South Dakota next Saturday, and some time to see our family. So we're thankful. We have four boys, biological boys, and so Aaron is 19, and he's attending Cedarville. He'll go into a sophomore year this year, and then we have Eli, Aiden, and Ezra, who are still with us. And so we're thankful to be here, and I do promise you a more updated photo. But no, we're still thankful for you guys and the encouragement, the the support and just being a faithful holder of the rope. And so thank you for giving so generously. That allows us to continue to serve everyone who comes through our doors.
We are going to share during the, what's it called, Adult Bible Study Hour or whatever. So feel free to come in. We'll have a much longer presentation there. But we just want to encourage you. God is doing amazing things in our corner of the world. Where we are is 90-some percent Muslim. It's a dry, dusty corner of the world. But our hospital is opening hearts and opening opportunities to share hope with people that would never exist otherwise. And so we are able to show Christ's compassion and love daily as our doctors and the nurses take care of people in a way that's not common in Togo, where we accept everyone, whether they can pay up front or not. And it's because of support like your churches that allows us to do that. There's many other ministries that we are a part of. Our hospital also offers free medical care to a large prison in Mongo, which before many people died each month, and we've almost seen no deaths these last couple years, got a letter of recognition from the government for our contribution there. But our hope really is to show compassion and love so that we can open doors for opportunities to share the love of God and the story of hope with people. Now, every day, what is there, 9 or 10 languages spoken in our hospital?
Yeah.
And we didn't really say what we do. Melissa serves as a...
I serve as a doctor at the clinic and then the hospital, and then...
My role is the hospital administrator, is the director general. I always say I'm kind of the director of complaints. That's kind of more what it is, but we enjoy our life out there. We enjoy the people we serve. We see opportunities every day where God's love and compassion is just poured out on people who many times have never, ever heard even who Jesus is. And how beautiful to see someone whose heart is completely closed when they arrive, and 4 or 5 days later they've watched the Jesus film, they've had chaplains care and pray over them every day, and you see people leave. We always say at least one step closer to the Lord, but sometimes they've made a journey that's long in those 3 or 4 days, and they've come to saving faith in Christ. So great opportunities. We thank you so much for your contribution and for your investment in the Hospital of Hope and in our ministry. So thank you very much.
Let's go to the Lord this morning. Dear Lord, we see you working all around the world. We're so thankful, Lord, that you allow us as a local body to support and to be senders of missionaries all over the world, Lord, even our own folks, Lord. We're so thankful that our youth ministry is able to serve in Belize this week. We do pray for Ethan and Melissa, Lord. We pray for just their service to you. We pray that you'd gird their hearts, build them up so that they can continue to serve you well. We pray for those that they serve, Lord, that they'd be able to deal with their physical ailments, but also deal with their spiritual ailments, Lord, that they could share the gospel, that they could continue to do the great work that you've put on them. Lord, we're so thankful that you allow us to be a part. We're thankful for all that you're doing in and around our church, Lord. We pray that we would be just a shining light into the darkness, Lord. We love you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Generation to generation, we will recount your praise.
I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long?
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Good morning. What a beautiful day to worship our God, huh? What a beautiful song to lead us into this. Be still, my soul. We are going to be covering Psalm 23 today, and there is just so much rest and peace that can be found in this psalm. And I am so ironically excited to talk about it today. You know, we are in this series of psalms, and Pastor Doug, who affectionately calls himself Finkbeiner, I kind of like that. I don't know about you guys, but I love that. He kind of kicked off our Psalm series, and he was talking about the fact that we are in our deepest moments of sorrow or in our joy. It's a book for us to go to. Whether we are having anxiety, unrest, or complete joy, Psalms is a book that we can go to and get so much out of. And he started us out by looking at Psalms 1 and 2. And he talked about the fact that the fortunate life is a God-sourced, Christ-centered, word-saturated life. Love that quote. Love that quote, man. God-sourced, Christ-centered, word-saturated life. What a beautiful message he brought to us. Although I do have one bone to pick with Finkbeiner. He stood up here and he said, we should only use the word awesome to attribute it to God. Folks, I use the word awesome like 50 times a week. And now I'm like, hey, that was really amazing. I love it, though. It's really caused me to think about who God is and how awesome our God is. And I'm trying really hard. So if I mess up, you feel free to call me on it, all right? Because God is awesome. Well, today we're going to be looking at Psalm 23 and the fact that he is our good shepherd. But before we talk about that, we have to understand something and lean into something that's really important. For him to be our shepherd, that makes us sheep, right? We are sheep. And I'm going to have to break something bad to you right now. That analogy doesn't really fit so well. It fits really good, but it doesn't really sit so well with us sometimes, right? Because, you know, sheep, well, we were watching a movie this week called Sheep Detectives. Pretty funny movie if you get the chance to see it. It's pretty clean. It's a really good movie. But one of the main characters, his name is Sebastian. And this is what he says to the sheep when they decide that they're going to solve the crime that has taken place. Do you know what humans call people who are stupid and can't think for themselves? Sheep. Yeah, sheep aren't the smartest animals. Quite frankly, sheep are kind of dumb. In fact, I have a video that will show you just how dumb sheep can be. Tell me that might not be one of the dumbest things you've ever seen in your entire life. They start going and they can't stop. Sheep are dumb. And so the fact that we are getting compared to sheep, but the fact that Jesus is our shepherd is how we can overcome some of the things that we do that are dumb. The key here is that he is our shepherd, John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. They hear the voice, and they follow him. That's what has to happen for us to avoid the dumb. And there is truth to this, like, beyond that you've ever seen. In fact, I'm going to quickly show you another quick video that will show you just how much the sheep truly hear the shepherd's voice. And it makes a difference.
One more time.
Oh, what is
now watch this.
Look at them. are coming.
Isn't that amazing? Those three other people go up there, and some of them very loudly calling out. Sheep don't even move. They don't even lift their heads. They just keep eating. He walks up, and the moment he says anything, their heads start to perk, and they start to all look, and then they all start to come. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. It's because he is the good shepherd. We're going to start out by just reading Psalm 23. You know, if there's anybody, I don't know if there's anybody in here, kids from VBS, I don't know if I see too many, but feel free to quote it with me, because our kids at VBS learned this passage just a few weeks ago in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. This goes back to Jacob and God's covenant. As Jacob was blessing Joseph, he tells him in Genesis 48, and he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day." So David is writing, understanding this covenant, this fact that God is his shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd, right? John 10, 14, 15. Tells us about this. Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Lay down my life for the sheep. For us to truly understand the good shepherd and to be able to reap the joys and the benefits of the good shepherd, we have to claim ourselves as his sheep, right? We have to understand what he did for us when he laid his life down. This amazing gift, we must recognize our need for it. In Romans, it tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every single person in this room, has fallen short of God's glory. And for us to be his sheep, we have to recognize that fact. We have to understand that and own it. It's this spiritual death that we get, right? Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This death is, yes, physical death came into the world when sin came, but this death that it's talking about here is a spiritual death, which is the eternal separation from God. We were created to worship and be with God. It's an innate desire in us. And without the shepherd laying down his life, we can't have that presence. In fact, it's just the opposite. We are destined for the eternal separation from God's presence, from our Creator. For us to be raised to life with Christ, we have to accept the gift that he gave his life for us. He took that punishment for us. Jesus, who is God's Son, part of the Trinity, he is the shepherd who gave his life. He is the good shepherd. Now listen, I know there's a very high probability that I am speaking to many, many of you, probably way up in the high 90%, who have already chosen this, who have said, "I understand I've fallen short of God's glory." But the question I ask is, as one of his sheep, are you listening to the Good Shepherd's voice? Just because you say he's your shepherd doesn't mean that you're acting like he's your shepherd. Are you listening to his voice? And if you are, then the rest of this psalm should bring so much joy and peace into your life. He is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want, it's not about desire. We kind of take that word and make it desire. The word that's there, it literally means to lack, to need, to have an insufficiency. So these are not about our desires, I shall not want. It's about that the Good Shepherd is promising 100% to cover everything you need. Everything you need. Whatever you lack, whatever you are insufficient in, the Good Shepherd will provide. He is the provider as the Good Shepherd. It goes on then and it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Do you know sheep, going back to the fact that they're kind of dumb, sheep will actually, in a meadow, they'll eat it and take it down to nothing and then wonder where the rest of the food is and what can they do. They don't know to go look for food. They will literally starve if someone doesn't take them to the next pasture and show them how they can eat. They must have a shepherd. And that's what this is talking about. He makes me lie down in green pastures. They lay there and they start eating this great, luscious, green, beautiful thing. This is what David is saying when he's saying this. We will be provided not just the men's breakfast at Yoder's, where we get to eat a lot, right? This is about everything that we need, about all that we need. He leads me beside still waters. Take a moment to feel that verse. He leads me beside still waters. That doesn't mean that necessarily the water is still. What that is talking about is that our inner being is still. Be still, my soul, we just sang. If we are listening to the shepherd's voice, we can feel that. I don't know about you, but it just makes me want to go and rest. Rest in who God is. Rest in our good shepherd. Are you tired? Ready to give up? Maybe you're worn out? Well, he restores your soul. That word restores, the verb word, the root of it means to return back to. The shepherd wants for you to have your core being, who you are, your soul, your inner being, to back to what he created it for. Think about Adam and Eve before sin came into the world and how beautiful it would have been to just be walking around the Garden of Eden and just taking in God's creation 100% flawless. With nothing, no anxiety, no tension, no worry about what am I going to be doing tomorrow? Is there going to be a big storm? Is there going to be a problem at my work? Is there going to be something that's going to cause me in my family to have anger or an argument or a fight or something that creates tension? None of that. That's what this is talking about. Restored soul. Returned back to what God wants us to be and created. If we listen and follow the shepherd's voice, we can have that. The shepherd wants to give you rest and he wants to replenish you. Not only return your soul, but give you physical rest, build you back up Isaiah said it clearly the best, right? Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And they will win 3 or 4 Super Bowls. Oh, it doesn't say that there, sorry. Mount up like wings of eagles. One of the things I loved about South Dakota, we saw eagles all the time. They were everywhere. And they are majestic. They are beautiful, amazing birds with this just, I don't know, fierceness almost in the way they fly and the way they just soar. We can mount up like that, folks. We have that if we listen and follow the good shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is what is right in the eyes of God. So here is our shepherd leading us in these right paths, understanding that these paths are the moral compass for us to be walking down and being a part of, walking through this path of righteousness and understanding that if we are on the right path, if we're walking down the paths of righteousness, we're going to avoid the dangers. We're going to avoid the things that cause problems. What happens when a sheep gets off the path in the area, especially that they were talking about shepherding sheep? There's many places where a sheep could lose his life if he walked off of the wrong path. Here, we're being led down the right path. We're being led down into danger, from danger to what is good. Romans 8:28 says that we know all things who love God work together for good. For those, here's the key, according to his purpose. The good comes from his purposes. And that's what this is saying. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love the NLT. I love how it says it. Bringing honor to his name. If we listen to the voice of the good shepherd, we're going to stay on the right paths. We're going to have things for our good. And guess what that's going to turn into? That's going to turn into an incredible testimony for our God. People will see our God. They will see who he is. They will see how much he loves us. They will want to know him. How beautiful is that? That if we listen to the voice of the good shepherd, we bring honor to his name by following and listening to him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That word, the shadow of death that it's talking about, it appears in Job quite often, and famously in Isaiah, where it's talking about this land of deep darkness. It conveys this feeling of a death shadow, deep shadow, impenetrable gloom, and a pitch of darkness. So we have this juxtaposition of these beautiful green pastures and the still waters, but there are times where sometimes to get to those pastures, to get to those waters, we have to go through tough times. We have to go through deep, dark, impenetrable pain in our own heart, in our own lives. And if we listen to the good shepherd and we follow him, he will take us through. Maybe it's in our marriage. Maybe that's where we're fighting and we're having this darkness. Maybe it is in your job that your job causes this pain or deep darkness in your life. Whatever it is, if you listen to the voice of the shepherd, he will guide you through it. But you got to listen. You got to hear it. You got to follow it. And you can do that without fear. David says, I will not be afraid. Why won't he be afraid? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That staff that the shepherd carries, what's its purpose? And its purpose is, first, to guide the sheep. Many times it has a crook in it, right? That's so that they can actually hook onto the sheep's neck and pull the sheep to safety if they have to. What else does it get used for? It gets used because, guess what? Sometimes some nasty animals want to come and eat the sheep. Well, he's got a weapon with him, man. He can beat them off. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect. That's our shepherd. We have that if we just listen to his voice. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a feast. What this is a victory feast. A king would have, whenever they came in and they vanquished an enemy, they would actually bring those from that they vanquished, and they would sit them down, and they would put this feast together. And basically it was to say, ha, we got you, look what we get to do, and you have to sit there and watch it. That's what's happening here. The enemy is out to devour, right? It tells us that in Scripture. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take us down. That's his goal. He wants to pull us into the deep darkness. If we listen to the shepherd's voice, we can make it through that. We can get through that to the point where we have victory over the enemy. And when we have that victory, we will have a table prepared for us, a feast in his presence to say, in your face, Satan. How cool is that? How awesome is that? That's our good shepherd. This victory feast, the messianic banquet, is foreshadowed in Isaiah. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich, full food, full of marrow, of aged wine, well refined, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces and the reproach of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That victory is fulfilled through Christ's work on the cross. Our shepherd laid down his life, and we get that victory. A table prepared in the presence of our enemies. Listen to what 1 Corinthians says in chapter 15. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we get to eat at the table. If we make him our shepherd and we listen to his voice. You anoint my head with oil. What a beautiful picture. Banqueters in the ancient world were often treated by their generous hosts where they would anoint their head with oil when they came in. It provided things. This oil provided a glistening sheen to their countenance. It added a fragrance to their person and to the room. And it preserved complexion in the hot Middle Eastern climate. This anointing of oil is an honor. It's a blessing. And it brings about this beautiful, beautiful thing in the lives of those being anointed. And as David writes this, he understands this. And he's saying, the shepherd is going to bring this blessing on me. And he is going to anoint my head with oil. And then comes the abundance, or overabundance. My cup overflows. You know, the picture of a cup overflowing. My son was driving in today, and he said, you want me to stop at Starbucks and get you a coffee? I said, sure. So I ordered it on the app, and he picked up my coffee, and I'll be honest, folks, I'm kind of a frou-frou coffee person. I put all kinds of sugars and steamed cream, and don't judge me. But I got a venti. And when he handed it to me, I was like, feels a little light. I took the lid off, and it was down about that much. Yeah, I'm telling on Starbucks right now. Well, I'll be honest. My first thought was, Hunter, did you spill my coffee when you came in? He didn't. I was a little upset. And it made me think about my cup overflows. It's not good when we don't get what we want. It's not good when it's not filled up. It's bad when it's half empty or short. But here, if we listen to the shepherd and we follow the shepherd's voice, it would be overflowing with venti Americano and brown sugar and sugar-free vanilla and steamed cream. Yeah, that's what I do. It would be beautiful. Our cup will overflow. We'll have more than we need. Not less. More. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want us to think a second on this section. I want us to really think hard on this part. This, because as I just read it, I did it the way I think most people read it or even quote it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's almost like surely is part of the good and the mercy. It's like it's a thing. We need to stop and think about that word surely. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It is a promise. It's this incredible promise. Surely I'm going to have this. There's no way I won't. It's a guarantee that goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. Think about that. Not some of the days of your life. Not until you hit a certain age. All the days of your life, goodness and mercy. What a beautiful picture. And then, not only is it going to follow you, the fact that it is following you is the fact it's pursuing you. Think about that. God wants you to have goodness and mercy so much that it pursues you. It's not going out in front of you. It's following you. It's chasing after you. That's how much God wants us to have that. And then we end with the victory. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember what we talked about in the beginning? The eternal separation from God. The death, the spiritual death. This is the victory. The eternal presence of God. Forever. He is our good shepherd. We started this message out by saying that we need to hear the shepherd's voice. We should know the shepherd's voice. We should follow the shepherd's voice. I'm going to read a true story. This literally happened because this is what sheep do. This is what sheep do. On a crisp July morning in the remote eastern province of Van, Turkey, a group of local village shepherds left their massive flock of about 1,500 sheep grazing on a high mountain plateau while they sat down for breakfast. Left momentarily to their own instincts, one sheep wandered to the edge of the steep ravine, was startled by something in the distance, and plunged over the side. Because sheep possess this incredibly strong herd mentality and naturally follow whatever is directly in front of them without question, one by one over the course of the morning, the entire flock walked straight off the cliff edge. The stunned shepherds watched this bizarre and horrific event unfold. That day, almost 500 of those 1,500 sheep died. The other ones didn't because eventually they piled up so high that it wasn't killing them because they were landing on the other sheep. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you follow it? Or we have a herd mentality, and we can get caught up in following things that are not of the shepherd. And we think about those sheep and go, boy, that was really stupid. They just walked right off a cliff. Well, how many times do we just walk right off the proverbial cliff? Because we're not following the shepherd's voice. In a minute, the band's going to come out and they're going to actually sing the song called Psalm 23. And they are going to sing Psalm 23 to us. And as they sing this song, the words will be up on the screen. And you are certainly welcome to join in and sing with them if you want. But I'm going to ask you to listen to these words. Let them wash over you. And don't miss out on our good shepherd. Follow, listen to his voice. Think about, where is it that maybe I'm following the herd mentality? And listen and follow our shepherd. So just take this song in. The good shepherd. Listen to his voice. Don't follow the flock over the cliff. Follow the shepherd to the green pastures, through the valley without fear, into victory, into the eternal presence of God. How awesome, how beautiful to have a shepherd like him. God, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and giving your life so that we could have the eternal presence of the Creator. Now I pray, God, that each one of us would intentionally listen for your voice and to follow it all the days of our lives as you follow us with your goodness and mercy. Thank you for pursuing us. We love you. We worship you. And it is in your Son's incredibly powerful, awesome, beautiful, holy name, the name of Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen. Have a great day.